Okay, this hour we're going to take your phone calls with Dale Harder. You've heard what we've been talking about. You probably have some questions too. Okay, welcome back. Dale Harder with us. We'll get to your calls too. Dale, you are psychic as well. So let me ask you, are you seeing anything that we need to know about on this planet that we need to prepare for or anything like that?
Well, I probably not as psychic as in that way, but I believe that we are going to see a lot more in the way of visitation. We're going to get a lot more in the way of ETs and craft and things making themselves known and available. I think that that's inevitable. I've been told it's inevitable. But it's going to be done in such a way that it will not present too much in cause a panic or anything like that.
Well, that's good. We don't need that right now.
No more War of the Worlds.
How are we regarded in the universe?
Well, in some ways, we're quite highly regarded. As you know, we have the secret space program, and we have Solar Warden, there's the IEC, and then there's the Alliance, and so forth. And we are, humanity, I should say, a small group of humanity, is very, very highly developed. And the technology that we possess, or that humankind has produced, is highly sought after and is traded amongst other races. So that's one of the aspects that these groups have been involved in. And so they know that we're extremely inventive, we're intuitive as humans. But like I said, the one thing that they do have a little difficulty with is the range of emotions that humanity possesses. And that has come about because we have so many races literally who've contributed to the gene pool.
Are you glad you are who you are?
Yes, absolutely. I hope that I can do some good here. Like I said, it's not my purpose to make people believe what I say, but if they violently disagree, that's okay. As long as they think for themselves. Because at this point in time, I find far, far too many people that are almost drugged. They're almost in a stupor.
Yeah.
Some people can't pull their head out of their telephone long enough to notice what's going on around them or next to them.
They're like zombies.
Yes. In fact, I had a woman cross the, we were in traffic the other day, cross the light in front of us, walked right through the traffic.
Oh.
And the cars, we had the right of way. The light was green. She walked right through. Never once did she look up from her telephone. And all these cars were waiting to go through. She's lucky she didn't get killed.
Yeah, I know that.
This
Jeez.
Is the kind of thing that I see on a daily basis.
Let's go to the calls. They're lining up for you. Robert in New York City, east of the Rockies. Robert, you're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Dale, I have a question for you. What do you think is the future for the Earth?
I believe that the Earth has a great future. I believe that humanity has a great future. If we can simply wake up and as a group become aware that we need help, and that we are not quite on the ball enough to do it all ourselves. If we can simply wake up enough, like come out of the dream world, so to speak, and wake up and work as a group a little more than we're doing, and that'll happen through love and good thoughts and things like that. I know it's an old cliche-sounding kind of thing, but if we can do that, it will automatically come. That is the natural flow of events. That's the way things work in the universe. The higher you think, the higher you practice, the higher you get. And that's the way that light works. Just like the spectrum of light, up and down the frequency range. We're moving in that direction. And all things in the universe are working their way back toward the source. And that's what it's all about.
Dale, on your planet of Era, what's the form of government, or how do things function there?
You know, George, I can't answer all the questions on the planet of Era because I don't remember or have the knowledge of that.
Okay.
I remember some things enough to sometimes drive me a little nuts as I go into some pretty deep discussions with a very close friend of mine. His name is George also, and he's part of our club. He's a past MUFON director.
Mm-hmm.
And, he vets everything. But, you know, he'll quiz me on a lot of things, and there are just some things I do not have knowledge of. And I'm not going to make up a story for you, so I will simply tell you I do not know.
Does it look like Earth? I mean, does it have oceans and things like
there
that?
There is water, there is trees, there is plants, there the sun and so forth. Everything is yes, it is. But it is also of a higher nature, of a more etheric, finer nature. It's really hard to put that into words, to relate that. It's like I said, again, if you look at that movie Cocoon and look at those beings that had that glow to them and that light to them, things are much finer and higher level, and thoughts are instantaneous and they're shared with all. There is no deception. There is no lying. There is no one person. No, it's not about the individual. It's about the whole. And so it's a totally different type of thing than here.
Next up, let's go to Mike in San Diego. Mike, go ahead.
Hi there. This is Mike in San Diego.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, George, and hi, Dale.
Hi there.
I also hail from Cleveland, Dale. So it's really interesting to be speaking with you.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wonder if you have any insight. My mom had a UFO experience, and there was wreckage taken away that it, like, sheared off tree limbs and stuff. And and it all happened within an hour, and then it was all done.
Where did it happen, Mike?
Cleveland, right off
in Cleveland.
Lost Nation Road.
And approximately what time period?
It was, she got off work really late from the bar, so it was like 2 to 3 in the morning.
But,
like,
I mean, when did it happen? What year?
Early 60s.
Ah, okay. Did the media do anything about that?
I don't know. I've never researched that part. I had somebody who claimed they had all of the files where I could find the research, and I would not find it unless through him, and then he never called me back, and I met him on your show.
All right, Dale, let me ask you this, because, you know, you are part of MUFON and the Cleveland Ufology Group. Are you aware, as a Playaren, are you aware of crashes like Roswell in places like that?
Absolutely.
You are?
Yes.
Do you know of this Cleveland one that he's talking about? I've never heard of that.
No, that doesn't ring any bells to me. Although I can tell you that there is a great deal of information, especially in the early years, that was gagged here. The Cleveland Press, the Plain Dealer, the papers and things, they absolutely would not talk about those kind of things. One of the great ladies of news here, Dorothy Foldheim.
Oh, she was there for 100 years, wasn't she?
Yes, and I met her many times. She was a great friend of my mentor, Earl Neff, who founded the Cleveland Ufology Club. And, you know, I used to listen to her talk, and she was very matter-of-fact. She had absolute tough opinion. She would tell you right straight to your face, you're either full of baloney or you're not, but... You know, she would tell us point blank. She said, Earl, Dale, she said, this stuff is never going to be talked about here. It is hidden. It is kept quiet. And we are under gag orders, so don't even think about it.
Which brings up this question. And, of course, Corey Good has talked about the secret space program. Do you believe we will ever get, on this planet, full disclosure?
Not in the way that people might hope. As I said, I believe soft disclosure is already taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely agree with David, Corey, Randy Kramer, half a million other ones that talk to that we discuss amongst. The military or the government is never, ever going to come forth and tell us the truth. They just can't. They've worked themselves into a Pandora's box that is so wide and so deep. If they should ever crack the lid, they would open themselves to questions that they couldn't possibly or wouldn't possibly want to answer. Not just about UFOs, but if they can keep a secret as they have done, and such disinformation and things going with UFOs as long as they have and how they have, believe me, there's no way they're ever going to tell us the truth. And they want to, I think the thing right now is they're trying to decide whether or not they want to bring out these little stories or little bits and pieces of disclosure, if you will, over a 50 to 100 year period, which I believe is completely bogus. I am for releasing the information now. Now, I, as a Plejaran and a loving being, certainly don't wish that anyone is harmed in any way. But in all honesty, George, and listeners, the only way that we are going to move forward is that it's going to be just like the stock market crash and people jumping out the windows. Some people aren't going to be able to handle it. And so what I say to them is, fine, if you can't handle it, then jump. But the rest of us need to move forward, and so does Gaia, Mother Earth. She's held back as long as she can, and she must move forward. So it's time. It's time that we take this into our own hands. It's just like the election. You know, we got to take it into our own hands and make something happen, because they're not going to do it for us.
Next up, let's go to Wayne in Tacoma, Washington, west of the Rockies. Hey, good morning, Wayne. Good to have you with us.
Yes, good morning, Sir George and Dale. I wanted to ask you about some of the unique things about the Pleiades. You know, for instance, the Pleiades is one of the three star groups mentioned in the word. It, of course, talks about the Milky Way. When it talks about the Earth, it talks about Orion, and it talks about the Pleiades. And I've read a great deal about the Pleiades, and I believe that we are all spirits in meat bodies, and all spirits come from a planet in the Pleiades. I call it Planet Heaven, because that's where the Bible says that, and Job specifically says, all good things come from. And you've described in your description of the city there is almost a perfect description of the 1,400 mile high, 1,400 mile wide, and 1,400 mile deep city of the New Jerusalem.
Okay.
In the Pleiades, and I see an amazing amount of correlations between what you said and the word. And I'm hoping that you have some, you know, eternal hope. Like I don't know if you remember a lot of children being there, but of course, just from China alone, there's going to be over 8 billion children on planet Heaven, because the average woman in China has had 7 abortions. And all those people underage go immediately back to planet Heaven. All those spirits go back to planet Heaven.
Okay. Thanks for those comments. Very insightful, I guess.
Right.
Next up, we have Robert in Baltimore, Maryland. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the show.
Hello, George.
Hi.
And thank you. Dale, I see some inconsistencies in what you're presenting, because you say that, as we've also heard from the abductees who have talked to their abductors, that love and caring for other people is what's going to solve the problem on Earth. But if that's the case, it's inconsistent with the idea that you cannot interfere at all in the affairs of Earth. For one of the things you could do is to provide the knowledge to the Earth people
as to how they might relate to one another in a more loving and caring way. And you might also explain to the people how they might be healthy. If you have medical knowledge from your sources, which would be helpful. Can you do positive things? My question would be, you may not be able to do, well, you wouldn't want to do harmful things, but you might want to do beneficial things, not necessarily interfering with military activity, but just in loving and caring. I see an inconsistency here. I also have a question as to whether the purpose of the abductions, that are the people who are abducting the abductees, are they also from your group, or is that another group?
All right, good question. Go ahead, Dale, if you'd like to take those.
Well, the first one, as far as the inconsistencies, I'm not quite sure I understand what inconsistencies you're trying to point out there. In that, I believe you were asking if we could, if my people or the Plejaran could actually get involved more than they have.
Good of mankind, I guess.
Pardon me?
For the good of mankind.
Yes, they can get involved to a degree, but only so long as it does not violate either the will of humanity or individual will.
I mean, could you bring us the cure for cancer if you knew it?
No.
You cannot. Okay, then, and that's probably what he's asking.
Mankind is not yet aware that they need that. They haven't asked for it as a group. Certainly, all of us have lost loved ones to cancer, and even myself have had bouts with cancer. However, the ability for all of us to stand up as a collective and say, and have enough of us ask and say, okay, we need help, and then not violate the free will of the world, that's the point we have to reach. So there's not quite to that point yet.
And his question about abductions is...
The abductions, those are from groups entirely outside. Benevolent races, and you'll find Dr. Greer speaking of this, myself, many others, the benevolent races, I can't imagine this. Why would my people... 425 light years away, or any others who may travel thousands of light years with that kind of knowledge and technology, come all that way simply to probe Dale Harder's rear end. It just makes no sense to me.
No, it doesn't. Dale, we're going to come back in just a moment here and take final phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. And folks, don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can always send me an email at george@coasttocoastam.com. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast, our final segment with Dale Harder. Dale, you are a very positive individual, and I think that's critically important for bringing a message of peace and tranquility to this planet. People need to start thinking this way. Have you always been that way?
No, I couldn't say I've always been this way. It is certainly an acquired thing. And it comes with age and wisdom, but it is definitely worth striving for every single minute of your life.
Were you good in school in terms of grades?
I was, yes, pretty good. I worked much harder than most. I actually loved school, and I was even an assistant teacher to many of my teachers and went to school in the summer. To learn higher levels of calculus and different things, preparing me for college.
Tell me about the laser company.
H&H Research, I started when I was in my teens, and it is an offshoot, as I said, from my love of lasers, building the first one at 7, the second one at 11, and winning a science fair and so forth in the school with that. But H&H Research has been dedicated to designing, building, researching, refurbishing, and repairing all types of gas lasers used in industry, used in research for universities, used for DOD, DOE, etc.
All right, let's go to final calls here. We'll pick it up by going to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Thomas, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you.
Sure.
And George and Dale and the Coast to Coast staff, I wish you all a joyous St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you.
And Dale, you know, the ancient civilizations on planet Earth felt, knew that the quickest way to raise, evolve humanity was through music, through harmony, symphony, toning, mantra, vocalization, if you will. And I find it fascinating that, number one, that you are Pleiadian. Number two, that you're developing what you call an exotic speaker system. So I was wondering if you could speak about, I'm sure that the Pleiadian harmonies, symphonies, music, toning, etc., is evolutionary, raises the, well, illumines those who listen to it. So I'm wondering if you could speak about that and whether you intend to convey that through your speaker system.
Well, that's a very interesting question. I'll try to put a little bit of that into perspective. First, the speaker system itself, as I said, is based on a Walsh principle, and that owes its theory more to antenna theory and a lot of mathematics than it does to any of the speakers that most people are familiar with. As you know, speakers take several forms: a piston driver, which is the most common and pushes air. The others would be an electrostatic panel, or ribbon, et cetera, et cetera. Ours does not do any of those things. It is a coherent wave transmission line driver. It emits sound a full 360 degrees from one speaker, one driver, and it is time and phase perfect. It's the fastest driver on the face of the planet and moves sound through its cone at 6,000 feet per second. So there's no lag in the response. It does not require crossovers of any kind and does not have any sweet spots when you use two speakers to produce stereo. So it is a very highly evolved method. The only thing that would be quicker or better would be what they call a plasma speaker, and it has no physical mass whatsoever. Ours has a very low mass. Now, as far as Pleiadian music, again, as I stated earlier, everything in the universe is based on frequency. No matter what that frequency might be, or multiples of frequency, so every single thing that exists has its own frequency. And music is a way to reach the soul. As you know, some of the greatest achievements of humanity have been through music. Bach, Beethoven, and fabulous concertos and piano and touche and different things written, as well as every other form of music, which I have always gravitated to. In fact, I was a professional singer and entertainer for many years and traveled the world. I wrote songs, cut records, etc. But we are definitely attracted to music. It is one of the ways that we express our soul and our energies, not only about ourselves, but with others, because as we feel it, the others feel it also.
Dale, our body that we inherit here,
yes,
is it the same throughout the universe? I mean, this, the look that we have as human beings, is that pretty standard?
Humans tend to be humans no matter where, yes. But the majority of life, as I understand it, in the universe is basically a bipedal. It is, you know, the two-arm, the two-leg kind of thing. There are other forms. Don't think that there are not. But the most common form is the biped form. And there are variations, of course, on the human theme, but there is a great, great number of humans scattered throughout the universe and even in our own galaxy. And then the Pleiadians are, like I said, our brothers and sisters are the closest to us in looks. They can literally walk among us on a daily basis, and unless you're pretty adept and know exactly what to look for and how, you would probably never catch it.
How long has your race been coming to this planet?
Probably about 200 and some thousand years.
How did they first discover Earth?
That I couldn't tell you. Don't know. I haven't been around long enough for that one.
Next up, we have Joe. Go ahead, Dale.
I was going to tell you that I can tell you that I took a physical form as I am right now so that I could stay here and work and move and live amongst humans. I do not look like the typical Plejaran. I don't have the, I was a towhead when I was born, but I don't have, and I have hazel eyes, but I don't have the typical blue, and I'm no longer tall and thin. One of the things is that when I came in, I was only supposed to be here for about 40 years. And staying here longer, which I requested to do, has caused a great deal of physical deterioration in my body, which I'm now dealing with.
Oh, geez. And you fell in love.
Yes, indeed.
Which was not expected?
Well, do you mean physically with another woman?
A human woman, yeah.
Humanity.
With a human woman.
Yes, I definitely have fallen in love a number of times in my life. I also am in love with humanity and the planet.
Let's go to Jerry in Los Angeles, first-time caller. Jerry, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, Dale, I really understand what you're saying. I, too, I resonate with you. I, too, have visitors from Sobe from Andromeda and Garni and Sila from Nibiru. And Torellian, a Say-Ray on the astral plane. Mm-hmm. And I have a question, but I'm leading up to it. I'm an older guy. I'm blind, and I will have my eyesight back soon. Another story. My question basically has to do with DNA. And I cannot, for the life of me, no pun intended, have a DNA, sample back to me. I submit them. I get nothing back.
What do you mean you get nothing back?
Completely.
What happens?
I don't know. I got one result, one response one time, and they said it was contaminated. I don't know why. I'm very healthy for my age.
Yeah.
I'm an older guy. But people are trying to mail it. It's been over 3 years, and I'm going through changes like many, and I don't know if there's a connection or not. I thought maybe you may have an inkling to that. I'm not sure. But I just can't get results.
What's going on here? What are they holding back from him, Dale? You sounds like you've been there.
I'm only laughing because I'm laughing in agreement. I understand.
You've been there.
Yes. In fact, I can tell you at 62 years of age, I still do not know what my blood type is. I have tried. I have asked. I have pleaded. I have been through operations. I have done everything in my entire life. And every time I ask, I don't know. We don't know. Oh, that was never run. Well, we couldn't tell you. And you know that you have to, that they had to do it. But it's always lost. Nobody knows that kind of thing. It's just amazing. The same way that all of my records were sealed regarding my birth and my origin and everything else.
But somebody knows about you. Do you think government has been tracking you?
Oh, yes. Absolutely so.
Have they ever threatened you?
Yes.
We're on to something here. What'd they try?
Pardon me?
What did they try to do to you?
Well, in the younger years, in the years when I was earlier involved with the Cleveland Ufology Project and so forth, there is another wonderful lady by the name of Mary Ann Hawk and I, who are one of the original groups. I've been in the club 42 years. And we used to get threats from Men in Black. They would literally hang out in the typical cars that you've heard about. We used to see them. They would come into our home. They would tap our telephone. They would go through our mail. And they would do so in such a fashion to leave the evidence that they'd been there and done it or are doing it, but not enough to cause your life or a life-altering problem. And I can't tell you how many times that occurred.
Next up, let's go to Jeff in Culver City, California. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Hi, George and Mr. Dale Harder. You're right about the music, right? That's why we call it soul music, black people. You know, it's funny.
Absolutely.
All the President Trump's budget cuts, these programs, you know, these space programs are never cut. But I'm so glad that you have been describing the look of certain crafts, Mr. Harder, that came from the higher realms into our mid-level or lower realms. Just in the last 3 or 4 days, I've seen, of course, in a subconscious dream, a gigantic, multicolored, luminous craft that resembled a giant calculator. It was being chased or followed by five or six jet fighters, you know, U.S. jet fighters, I guess.
Harder.
Is there an actual conflict occurring deep in space that only our military or perhaps other military, units worldwide are involved with and engaging with, you know, without our knowledge here on Earth, and that only certain individuals can, quote-unquote, see through dreams or subconscious meditative states of mind? Or do you believe that all of this type of extraterrestrial activity is occurring in multi-parallel dimensions? And I'll take your answer off there.
All right. Well,
that's a lot.
Cover there.
That's a lot. Just take a piece of it.
Yes, I certainly can tell you, and I do believe that there is definitely a war being fought as we speak. It is being fought on many levels, not only just our third-dimensional Earth level, but it is being fought on other levels as well, through many races. The ownership or control of the world is trying to be decided at this point in time. That's part of what is going on with the reptilian and the greys that have been in control for almost 350,000 years on this planet. But they are, we're happy to say, are basically on the run. They're in their last throes. And this is the reason that we are experiencing so much difficulty here right now. They're throwing everything at us that they possibly can to keep us off balance. And that means that as long as we are thinking about wars, we are thinking about death, destruction, and everybody is arguing and the whole nine yards, they cause all these things to happen to keep us focused on that, because human beings are creators, and what we think and what we believe is what we produce. So if they can keep throwing negativity at us, that's where our focus is. You see, so the best way to counteract that is to constantly think about the loving and the giving, and even within our own families. And I know sometimes that's difficult to do. I myself am guilty. But that's where it begins. It begins with us. It begins at home. And we spread that to everywhere else. That's the only way that we can change it. Now, positivity and love has much, much more potential than negativity. One good deed can wipe out 100 bad ones.
So if you were to shed your physical body, would you have, as you mentioned in Cocoon, that glow, that body glow?
I certainly hope so, George, but I'm not in any hurry to find out.
Stay in the body you've got right now, huh?
Right. I'm hanging on as long as I can, you know. And mostly out of my own selfishness, because I really want to be here to see humanity change. I want to be here when all the new technologies are brought out, when all the biotechnology comes out, when free energy is given, when replicators are available, when no longer do women and children and people have to suffer in the world and have no food or their disease and so forth. If humanity, if Americans, for example, were to know the real truth of what is going on in other parts of the world, it would shock them to death, because our news here is not accurate. And most people, if they saw the truth, as I have seen and others have been privy to, it is so horrendous that it would literally rip your heart out. And they would. And first thing people would do here is scream, get that off the TV, get that away from us. I don't want my children to see that. I don't want to know. We put our heads in the sand every day, and we don't want to face it.
Out of sight, out of mind. Dale, thanks for being on the program. Truly remarkable. For Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Audasore, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.